Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with your appreciative list. Subscribe and follow the podcast, of course, the YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there as the Phillies go down to the New York Mets, eliminating four games. Such a disappointing ending to what looked early to be a special, special Phillies season. It was not. Out in four, out in the NLDS, and now a ton of questions to answer about the future of this franchise. And I think before we get to those and really dive into the future and what should happen and who should go and who should stay, I think it's time to assess the blame game here. What? Why? How? How did this team go from 45-19 to then 500 basically after that and out in four games to a red-hot Mets team? Who's the most to blame for what has become, one of the most disappointing end of seasons in Philadelphia sports history? When you could factor in what was at stake, this group, where they were 2 years ago, where they were last year, where they started the season off, it really is an unceremonious ending to a group and a team that was supposed to be able to accomplish more. They weren't. Let's start the blame game with the person most responsible for this, and that's the architect of the team. That's Dave Dombrowski. You know, at some point, we're going to have a hard, uncomfortable discussion about Dave Dombrowski's moves as he got to Philadelphia and really how the bulk of the talent on this team and the bulk of the value on this team was left here before he arrived. Dave Dombrowski inherited Zach Wheeler, inherited Aaron Nola, inherited Christopher Sanchez, inherited Ranger Suarez. He inherited Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto. He inherited the bulk of this baseball team and has proceeded over the last couple years to tweak and change it, and I don't think for the better. And I know they've won more regular season games, but I think a lot of that is because of what was here anyway. When you start a team, when you take over a team with Wheeler and Bryce Harper, you're going to have a backbone of a pitching staff and an offense. And the Phillies had that. So I want to go over Dave Dombrowski's moves since the end of the 2022 World Series. Okay, Phillies get to the World Series with Dombrowski. And, you know, in that year before that, he did bring in Schwarber, which I think is his best move as a Philly executive. He did bring in Castellanos. And, you know, he did some things to help the Phillies get there in 22. But I want to look at Dombrowski since the 2022 World Series ended, the last 2 years of moves. And you tell me what you feel as I kind of reel off and go. These are the big decisions and big moves, kind of guys that came in from outside or guys that were allowed to walk, okay? He gave Trey Turner an 11-year, $300 million contract. I mean, I don't know how Trey Turner defenders sleep at night. I don't know what game you're watching. There was one $300 million shortstop on the field last night, and he did not wear red and gray. He wore blue and orange and white, and his name was Francisco Lindor. That's a $300 million shortstop. That's a rare player. That's a two-way player that plays a great defensive shortstop and hits. That is a special player. We don't have that guy. We have one of the worst contracts in the sport. It will only get worse. It will be an albatross on this franchise as time goes on. He can't play the position of shortstop well, and his offense is garbage. It is garbage. It is all it is streaky 3 week stretches where he boosts all his numbers up, and then you look up and you're like, it's not that bad. But 70% of the time, it's terrible, like it was in this series. Terrible. You know, Trey Turner, since the All-Star break, hit under 250, on base under 300 since the All-Star break. Under 300. OPS in the 600s since the All-Star break, including the playoffs. Just abysmal. That was the big Dombrowski move post-World Series. He traded Matt Vierling for Gregory Soto. Matt Vierling's playing third, or batting third, and playing every position for a Tigers team one win away from an LCS. Matt Vierling would have been this team's center fielder this season. He let Zach Eflin walk and signed Taijuan Walker to a four-year, $78 million contract. At the 2023 deadline, the acquisitions to put him over the top were Michael Lorenzen and Rodolfo Castro. Then Reese Hoskins walked to play Bryce Harper at first and put an outfield out there that was historically bad among National League teams in terms of trying to contend for a World Series. They signed Whit Merrifield as their big free agent signing this past offseason. And at the trade deadline this year, with one more chance to push forward to change what was happening from early June, mid-June, through the end of July, which was this team was falling backwards. The trade acquisitions that day and that week were Tanner Banks, Carlos Estevez, and Austin Hayes. Estevez, who got rocked in the LDS, including the grand slam to Lindor. Hayes, who looked so bad in his one start, the Phillies said, we can't do this anymore. That was the trade deadline acquisitions. I just want to read it one more time. $11,300 for Trey Turner. Matt Vierling for Gregory Soto. Letting Zach Eflin walk. Paying Taiwan Walker 4 years, $78 million. Trading for Michael Lorenzen and Rodolfo Castro at the 2023 trade deadline. Letting Rhys Hoskins walk to put Bryce at first and play Johan Rojas in an everyday role. Signing Whit Merrifield as the big free agent signing last offseason. And trading for Tanner Banks, Carlos Estevez, and Austin Hayes at the trade deadline this year. This is on Dombrowski. Dave Dombrowski has made this team worse the last 2 years rather than better. And he's riding the coattails of what was already here, which is Wheeler and Harper and Nola. I give him a ton of credit for Schwarber. It was an amazing signing, a great signing. It helped get the Phillies to become winners. Almost everything else looks bad. It's really not been a good thing for Dombrowski. Now, I'd say Strom and Schwarber are his two best signings. Hoffman is kind of an accident. But obviously, you know, that's a good one. But a lot of this has been really poor. The second biggest blame in the series goes to the lineup. They got to be responsible. They got to take responsibility for the nonsense we saw out there. The Phillies scored 12 runs in four games against the Mets. They batted 186 with a 597 OPS. They struck out 38 times. They walked 16. The number 6 through 9 hitters in the series went 5 for 54. That is a 0.93 batting average of the four games. It's the lowest ever postseason batting average for a lineup's back half. Ever. And what strikes me about that is the pitcher used to hit. This is a DH league. The fact that the Phillies hitters were worse than lineups that had pitchers in them tells you everything you need to know about the bottom of the lineup. They were abysmal, from Marsh to you know, obviously JT, to whatever left fielder or center fielder they were throwing in there each day. Just a flat-out joke of a performance by those guys. What they're missing right now are grinders, like the Mets had with Marte and Iglesias. You go back to 22. Why were they more successful in that postseason? And every time I see highlights, I see it. Rhys Hoskins was a grinder. Did he strike out sometimes? Yeah, of course he did. But he was a grinder. He walked and he grinded at bats. Him in the two-hole was so much better than Trey Turner in the two-hole, because he walked and he grinded at bats and he would hit for the power. They miss a guy like Gene Segura that's put the bat on the ball and made things happen in the postseason. A Matt Vierling. You know who has those guys? The Mets. Starling Marte is one of those guys at this stage of his career. Always has had good bat-to-ball skills, but as his athleticism has waned, he's honed more in on that. Jose Iglesias, bat-to-ball guy. Brandon Nimmo, bat-to-ball guy. You know, they've got a lot of them. I mean, Lindor, for a guy that's you know, hits for some power, obviously a lot of power, is a bat-to-ball guy. Vientos is obviously better than what we have here with Alec Boehm as a bat-to-ball guy with some extra base hit power. So it's the lineup deserves a ton of the blame. Obviously, the construction of the lineup was Dombrowski and bringing all these guys in. But they got the mix doesn't work. The mix doesn't work in October. It worked 2 years ago because they had more of those guys. And they've lost that. They really have lost that ability to grind out at-bats consistently. They did it for one game in Game 2 down the end of that game. And really, that's the only game the Phillies won in this series. They didn't grind enough at Game 1. They didn't grind enough at Game 3. They didn't grind enough at Game 4. And that's why they lost. The Mets won. They kept putting pressure, kept making contact, the Mets. And the Phillies could not do that. The third biggest reason, and the third biggest reason for blame on the blame pie right now, is the bullpen. And it's really hard to explain it. It just happens. It's one of those where you think you have a good bullpen and you do, but they don't perform. They didn't perform. The Phillies in this series posted an 11.37 ERA. It's the fifth highest ERA by any bullpen in any series in postseason history. Any bullpen in any series in postseason history. The fifth worst ever. Every time they came in, the Mets had traffic on the bases. Every time they came in, they seemed to allow runs. Every time there was an inherited runner, they let them score. Nobody could shut it down for more than an inning at a time. It was a really, really ugly, ugly playoff performance by the bullpen. Estevez wasn't built for October. Hoffman, I don't know if he just had a bad week, ran out of gas. I think last night was a combination of him up many times because they didn't know when they had to get Ranger out. Then he had to sit for a while in the inning where the Phillies had some traffic on the bases, and he just, that second inning wasn't good. Topper should have come out earlier. He's hands tied behind his back. He's got like two guys he wants to trust to get through that game, and they're not scoring any runs. Should Topper have come earlier? Sure. I would have went to Christopher Sanchez maybe for a clean inning when that inning started to get long, but the bottom line is these guys got to perform. I mean, Hoffman allowed 16 earned runs during the regular season over 6 months. In a five-day span against the Mets, he allowed 6 runs. He allowed almost half the runs he allowed all year in just this series. He was brutal. Strom was brutal. Kirkering was too hittable. They were brutal. The bullpen was supposed to be their strength over the Mets, and it absolutely was not. They're a huge part of the reason the Phillies lost this series. And the last thing I'll note in terms of the blame game and who deserves the most blame, I don't really blame the day-to-day of this series, the game-to-game, the inning-to-inning decisions on Rob Thompson. You know, we could quibble with Strom in Game 2. We could quibble with taking Wheeler out in Game 1. I thought he was done in 111 pitches. We could quibble with Hayes in Game 3 or Hoffman, how long you left him in the sixth inning as he was dying last night. We could debate all those things. Bottom line is, if you don't hit and you're a poor roster construction, you don't have grinders, you're going to struggle. But where I will blame Rob Thompson is I thought he fostered a loser's mentality in the second half of the season. And I'm not even telling you I would have done anything different. I think it's a unique spot when you're up as much as they were and you have an older team and you're trying to get ready for the postseason. It is natural to take your foot off the gas. But Thompson, he made it okay for them. The way he managed without any urgency post July 4th made it, I think, set the tone for the players. Like, yeah, whatever. You know, no, whatever. We're up big. We're fine. Let's get ready for October. And JT said it. They hope they could turn the switch back on. It's very hard to do that. The Mets are showing the opposite of this, where their switch has been on since early June because they've had no other choice. They're playing like their hair is on fire because they have no other choice. And the Phillies could have pushed all year and tried to win 105 games and did not punt games like they punted before the All-Star break against the Oakland Athletics, not sit guys, you know, on days for rest, you know, not, you know, make sure it's all about October, but also make sure games matter during the season, not give away games against the Nationals on a Sunday in August because they give guys a full rest day. They could have done this. They absolutely could have done this, and they chose not to do it. They chose to prioritize the long term over the short term, and I think it fostered a sense of, you know, even if it was never said out loud to them, let's take the foot off the gas, I think it fostered a little bit of that, hey, we're good. We're all right. No big deal. And it was the opposite for this team in both 2022 and 2023 as they made deeper runs. They had to get hot. They had to wake up. And although they still won the division, they didn't blow the division, you saw in the postseason, they look like Rocky and Rocky III, and the Mets look like Clubber Lang. And they were just like, yeah, we're good. We're good. And they got knocked out. They got knocked out by a fighter that was fighting for something, that had not won yet, that had not got to a mountaintop like a World Series trip 2 years ago. The Mets look like the Phillies 2 years ago. Grinders, tough, they, you know, ready to do this, fighting, hot since June. The script is just on, it's flipped. And now the Phillies have to figure out where they go from here. But the blame game for what happened over these four games is obvious to me. Dave DeBrusk gets the biggest fault. I mean, those moves are bad. I mean, almost every single one looks bad in retrospect, especially the Trey Turner one. That's a disaster. The lineup failed. The bullpen was totally untrustworthy. And every time you thought they might recover, they got worse and worse. And then there's the mentality. turn that switch off, turn it back on. Well, you can't really do that. Or at least it's really hard to. The Mets switch has been on since June. They played like it. They were better. They deserve to win. And now the Phillies enter an offseason of major, major questions about the future of the manager, the future of the daycare, the future of the shortstop, whether it be his position in Philadelphia or just his future in Philadelphia. Would anyone take that contract? And, of course, which big names can they add? Who's the missing piece? What's the kind of player they need to help them get over into the next world, over the hump into championship realm? That is now their question. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Thanks so much for listening.